Welcome everyone to the Sister Stories podcast. The aim of this podcast is to marvel at God's sovereignty over each of our lives as women and to encourage one another by sharing our stories. My name is Sophie and today I'm joined by Caroline.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. Welcome. So first of all, Caroline, can you tell us who you are?
Okay, I'm Caroline. I've been in the UK since 2003. Mm-hmm. I was born in South Africa, but my father's from Zimbabwe, and his parents are from UK and America. And then he met my mum in South Africa, who's also from the UK. So a lot of heritage from the UK, but I was born in South Africa.
Right. And what do you do?
I'm a teacher, but at the moment I'm trained as a nursery teacher, but at the moment I'm working with children with a variety of different traumas that they've experienced in childhood.
Right. Okay. Okay, great. So we're going to be talking about your journey with the Lord Jesus Christ and your walk with him. But can you take us back to the beginning and your family background, how you were brought up?
Okay, I was really grateful that I was brought up on a tobacco farm in South Africa, so beautiful weather and lots of space. Mm. I have a brother and a sister, and obviously my parents were both Christians. They became Christians soon after they got married, so I'm very blessed to have been raised in a Christian family.
Mm, okay. Are your brothers and sisters your brother and sister older or younger than you?
I have an older sister who lives on a dairy farm near Cape Town. A dairy and apple farm, and then a younger brother who lives in Abu Dhabi. But we sort of quite close in age because all three were, my sister was 3.5 when my younger brother was born. So we're very close in age.
Right. Okay. Wow. And so you were brought up going to church and can you tell us a little bit about that experience? What that was like, what your church was like?
Yes. Where we grew up was quite an Afrikaans area, and there was one little Anglican church that everyone sort of went to. So it was sort of a family day. So it was a bring and share every second Sunday. And we used to spend the whole day at church. And it took about nearly an hour to drive to church. But it was all about meeting up. And everyone felt like family, which was amazing.
So Cornerstone must feel quite similar.
Yes, that's why I think I really settled quickly into Cornerstone. Yes.
Oh, that's great. I wonder were you taught in the Sunday school as well? What kind of teaching did you receive?
Yes, we had a really lovely Sunday school. Mm. There were some permanent Sunday school teachers, and then there was parents used to take turns as well. And then we had a few local Christian camps we could go on, which were really lovely. Right. And also at school, it was just Christianity was taught, so it was quite a Christian base at school as well.
Okay. What was your understanding of the Christian faith at the time? Maybe if you remember, would you say you were a committed Christian by then already when you were quite young? Or
yes, I can't actually remember a time not being a Christian. And because obviously having parents that led by example and showed the love of God through what they did with others. And we always had an open door at home. So that's another reason Cornerstone's really lovely. We had maybe a few people visiting, and then before you know it, you got sort of 10 for dinner, and somehow we always, you know, had enough, which was amazing.
Mm. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah, so what about your understanding of the gospel as a child? What would you say?
There were quite a few people that influenced, as well as my parents, that you could see the love of God through them.
Yeah.
And obviously you wanted to know more and more. So then obviously went on different courses and just to find out more about the Lord. And obviously there's times you feel closer to him as well.
Yeah.
But it's also to draw near to him when you're not obviously going through a tough time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, could you tell us a little bit about how your understanding of the gospel has matured over the years? So you talked about God's love for you being modelled by other people. Mm-hmm. But can we expand a little bit on that?
And I can also explain, obviously being on the farm, my dad, they were Mozambican refugees that used to come through the Kruger National Park. Mm-hmm. And then my dad used to get them registered so they can officially work sort of in the tobacco industry, especially as when they're harvesting. And basically it's to see how much my dad did for them and showed God's love. And then my mum would help them learn to read and write, and just to see someone so appreciative and thanking God that he could write his name as an adult. Mm. And then also seeing if they didn't have a jumper, my dad would literally give his jumper to them, you know, that he was wearing, just to show practically. Not that materialistic things weren't important, but just to basically show God's love to everyone. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, as I got older, I got involved in different youth groups, and I worked at also at a home for street children as well, that our home group when I obviously got older in Pretoria. And then just years later, seeing one of the chaps that was in the home, where he saw me at a filling up the car at a petrol station, just thanking God for what we did when he was still in the home. And now he's a qualified chef, and just to see God's love in action is beautiful.
Yeah. What about your personal relationship with God? How did you feel approaching God in prayer? And how was your relationship with Jesus really as a child?
I felt the more you spent time, the more you learned, the more you wanted to know. Mm. And then obviously started reading more books. And then I've been in Bible-based churches, which is amazing. I've been in quite a few. Just that they are profound. Or if you go into church, you feel immediately if you're not led, if it's not the right place, or you feel at home immediately. But it's also being in churches that challenge you, and having people that say what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. That's also over the years has helped me grow and learn more about myself and more about God as well.
So you said your parents were playing quite a big role, obviously in that, in sharing the gospel with you. Were there any things at home that you would do together? Maybe you would read the Bible together, or anything in particular that struck you? And
We used to always have a quiet time and a prayer time before we went to bed, discussing the day, and then obviously praying as well, which was really incredible. And also that the community raises the child, where a lot of my parents' friends, also being Christian, also had an influence on our lives and our upbringing.
Oh, that's great. And you said there was a similar at school, because you received as well that teaching about Christianity at school.
Yes.
Did that give you the chance to explore a little bit more and to ask maybe more questions about it? Or?
Yes. For when I went to the local school that had about 160 in it for primary school, but then for high school I went to a really big boarding school in Pretoria. And there I found we had a very active SCA, Student Christians Association, and I thought that was really amazing to be part of that.
Yeah, great. So what did you get on to do after school? What did you study, or did you stay at home or move? Or?
I was planning to study nursing, and then I decided to take a gap year. And my parents were then working for a Swiss lady managing a game farm, and she had an estate in Switzerland that she asked me to go and house it for a few months.
Oh,
so I did that. And then a friend of mine's mum's friend had a Montessori nursery, which I really loved. So I ended up just sort of studying nursery. Yeah, sort of two to six old.
Yeah.
So that's where the teaching started.
Right. And you worked in that nursery as well?
Yes, I worked in a nursery in South Africa.
Yeah.
And then I came to UK in 2003 because I had a British passport. I thought I'd just come over for a change of scenery in 2003.
That's
convenient. While I was looking for teaching jobs, I thought I'd nanny for a month or two. And it was such a lovely family. I was with them for 5.5 years. And then I started studying more special needs, because I had a lot of spare time. And then I realized I was sort of called to work with children that had special needs.
Right. Okay. So that was about 20 years ago? Is that, 21
more or less,
years ago? Yeah, more or less. Okay. Let's just carry on with the story then. So what did you feel like when you arrived in the UK?
It was actually quite easy going. Stayed with friends for a couple of months till I found a job. And then it was really quite easy going, because you sort of met friends and then friends of friends, and before you knew it, you had a circle of friends. And the church I was at in South Africa knew someone who planted a church in London, so that made it easier to go straight into a church as well.
Yeah. So you arrived around here or somewhere else in
London? No, I lived in Victoria for 5 years in centre, which was quite lovely, coming to UK and living sort of, I could walk anywhere in central London. So that was really
nice.
Really a blessing.
Yeah. And so you found a church straight away through that contact?
Yes.
Okay. Great. I wonder what, so is that when you started teaching properly in the UK then? So going into special needs education?
I was working, nannying. When the youngest one went, I didn't want to be a nanny my whole life. I knew that.
Yeah.
But my special needs qualification finished the same time as the younger one finished primary school, and he was going to go to boarding school. So that came to a natural closure, but I'm still really close to the family. And then I ran a Christian nursery, part of a school in Clapham Junction, a Christian school.
Oh, right,
then I ran the Christian nursery. So that was for 5 years. So that was really lovely. We started each day with devotion with the staff, and then you had a small group of eight that you did a Bible study at snack time. So that was such a blessing to have a job in a Christian environment.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And now more recently you're still teaching, but with...
Yes, I went to a day nursery for five years, but that really wasn't for me. The hours were just bad, and it was a private day nursery, whereas obviously now I'm at an estate school and it's a really incredible place to be working.
Right, okay. And you're helping children in difficult circumstances, is that all right?
Yes, so it's a range of childhood traumas, being from lots of foster families or from refuges or even refugees. And what's amazing with the school, nobody knows. So it's totally confidential and everyone's treated exactly the same. So I think that's why I'm learning so much every day from that.
That's amazing. Great. So we've talked quite a bit about what you've done, but I wonder what your relationship with the Lord has been like throughout the years, and how maybe it's evolved from childhood to now, and what he's taught you, how you've grown in your faith, really. Yeah, is there anything that stands out to you that you think God has really taught you over the years?
I think it's basically they sent people across my path to give me really sound advice, because straight from the Christian nursery, I was going to work for a charity that works with sort of end-of-life children and obviously families, whereas a pastor at the time said to me, you need to get in the real world where you don't have a comforted net of obviously the Christian work environment, which was really incredible advice. So then I worked in a really secular place, and I thought I grew personally, learned a lot about myself, fear of man and all those sort of things, whereas now I feel much stronger. And it was through someone at Cornerstone that I got the new job, because I changed churches, came to Cornerstone, but I was still working. And then I moved to Surbiton. I was still working in Earlsfield. Yes. And then someone just said they got my number from someone else at church. At her child's school, there's a job that she feels would be perfect for me. And then I thought, I went for the interview, and on the way home, I was praying about it. And then the principal actually offered me the job on the way home. So I hadn't even walked home yet. Yeah. So I knew that was God's hand was over that job.
Oh, that's amazing. So you feel like people's inputs throughout your life have really guided you.
Guided me, and also when you're praying for something and you think the prayer isn't being answered, then when you realize what happened, you thank God for not answering your prayer, but just his plan just was so much better than yours.
Yeah, no, that's right, isn't it?
And then also I feel if you get your dreams in line with God's plan, heard this in a sermon once, then obviously how incredible your life will be. You'll be living your dream, basically, if your dreams are in line with God's plans for your life.
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? Because we might think we know better than God, actually. Yes. But then he readjusts everything for us. And then you realize, actually, that's even better. Because it's what's meant to happen, really. And what he's decided for us. That's great. I just wonder maybe more recently if there's anything else that God has taught you in the recent years. Or
I think basically working with children that have had traumas, that no 2 days are the same, and that you can't do it in your own strength, that you each morning you have to give to God and basically say, this is your day, what should I do? Because obviously when you try and do it in your own strength, you burn out really quickly.
That's right. And I'm sure... You can also see how beneficial it is for you to be in that situation with all the experience you've gathered over the years to help these children. And as you say, in such difficult circumstances that they have, and to come and help them and support them.
Yes. And then when you see progress, it's just so rewarding to see God's hand in their life, which is really lovely.
Yeah, that's great. What advice would you give to younger Christians if you had to?
I would say basically getting involved in church, and also because I'm involved in children's work, and then there's a Cornerstone kids child at school, just to see what seeds that are planted at church and obviously in a Christian home as well. Then you see them evangelize at school, which could be quite scary, but they just step out in confidence, just sharing who Jesus really is. Because as a teacher, you can't say too much. You have to always start with the phrase, Christians believe. Whereas if they come and ask you a question, then they'll say, this child told me this, is it true? Then you can say, I believe in the same Bible, and basically every word she's saying is true according to my Bible. So it's incredible that God sends even little children into your work life to basically help your sharing the gospel and encouraging people, because obviously in these times there's so many adults, colleagues, as well as children and parents that are really struggling. So to just show the light, even if you can't say too much.
Yeah, that's right. And being part of the of Cornerstone Kids, for example, you can really have a strong relationship with these children as well. And then they take that out into the world, don't they?
Yes.
To school and beyond. So that's really rewarding, isn't it? That's great. Great. Thank you so much, Caroline, for sharing your story with us. I think we can really see how God has used so many different people around you to encourage you, to point you in the direction he wanted you to go, or just to grow your faith, really. So that's really encouraging, actually. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And thanks, everyone, for listening. That's all for today's episode of Sister Stories. But join us again next time.